Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. God bless you, each and every one of you. I pray that you've had a successful day and whatever it was that you've done today. I also pray today that you were able to take out time from whatever you were doing, regardless how busy you were, and just praise the Lord. Take some time with them. Just understand what it is that He wanted to speak to you about today. I think that ever so often we get into the habits of just getting up another day. And we don't thank God. We may say, thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning, if we say that. But we don't take out time just to visit with God. You know, someone comes to your house to visit. They may even say, you know, I can't stay long. Just wanted to stop by and say hello. Can't stay long. Just wanted to see your face. Can't stay long. Just wanted to hear your voice. Well, we have to start starting somewhere. Just saying, God, this is just my time with you. I just want to hear the word. Just want to be with you, be in your presence. I just want to hear what you have for me today. I just want to talk to you and just praise you. I just want you to know how I appreciate you. There's so many things that we have to thank to the Lord. There's so many things that we need from the Lord. And in order for us to be examples on our jobs, to be examples in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our churches, we need to be in communication, I do apologize. We need to be in constant communication with the Lord. Constant communication with the Lord. And in order for us to get to there, we have to decide that we are born to have a personal relationship with the Lord. We have to decide that we want to have a passion to be with the Lord. You know, if you're passionate about something, you get overexcited when it's time for that, whatever it is in your life. It could be a sports event. That's your team. You know they're getting ready to play tonight, and all you can do is think about, even while you're at work or while you're at dinner or wherever, you think about, you know, I'm going to really enjoy being there at this game, watching this game. A friend is coming over. You're excited about it. You're going to enjoy being in the presence of that person, sharing with that person. And that's the same passion that sometimes we, even as Christians, walk past and we run past because of so many other things in the world that is flashing and dangling and sparkling. There's singing in our ears. There's rapping in our ears. It can just be that you're reading the word, but you're not getting anything out of it. There's just the more words that you're reading, because you're not in communication with the Lord. So we're speaking tonight about developing a relationship that can give you some passion. You ever met a man or a woman and you just, you know right off, oh, wow, something about this person. I think I can spend the rest of my life with them. And you start to develop a passion for them. And by the time you're at the altar, you're looking into each other's eyes and you have this passionate feeling, emotion that it lets you see that I want to share an intimate relationship with them. And that means I don't want a day to go by without me speaking to them, without me hearing from them. I want their touch in my life. I want to share what important to them, I want to share it. I want to be a part of it. Amen? And that's exactly where we're wanting to be with the Lord. We're wanting to be that with the Lord. Amen. The one who gives you life. Amen. The one who's your healer. Amen. That loves and loves you all to the ends of his heart or her heart, but he can't give you anything that's for his healing. He can't look inside of you and fix anything that may be broken. But there is a pattern who is the creator of your life and my life, who knows all about us, who knows every hair on my head, who knows every thought before I even think it. Hallelujah. Who knows the plan that he has for me. And I thank God that as many people may set up and try to do things against us, and they plan and they plot to do different things, but I am so grateful that our Father, our Creator, said that the plans that he has for us, that they're plans to prosper us. Amen? That they're plans to not harm you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They're plans to give you hope. Hallelujah. And they're plans for your future. Thus says the Lord. Did you know that, sisters and brothers? He has plans for you. From creation of you, he has plans for you. And if you're here today under the sound of my weak voice, whether it's in the archive or whether it's live, it's very important for you to know that you're not just alive today just to take up space. It is something that you are supposed to be doing. It is something that you are supposed to be learning, something you're supposed to be hearing. And there's also something you're supposed to be sharing. You're supposed to be sharing something. And it's all about edification of the kingdom. And so while we sit and we wake up, we rise, and we do different things to make ourselves busy through the day, and we're just kind of occupying our time until nightfall comes and go to bed and do it all over again. You're just finding something to put in the slot, put in the spaces to watch time pass you by. And I'm here to remind you that God has plans for that time. And we need to consult with God on how do you want me to spend my time today. Amen? Look, I know you have a plan for me. Your word says that you have a plan for me. And those plans is not to harm me. But I don't have to be afraid. And those plans is to prosper me and to give me hope and a future. But I need to know what the plans are, right? I need to hear from the Lord to know what the plans are in order for me to walk in the correct way. Those are things that is very important that I'm going to need to know. And if I'm not communicating with God, if I'm not talking to God, listening to God, then I have no way of knowing what it is that he has for. So it's very important, very, very important that we make sure that we are in the will of God and doing what it is that God would have for us to do. Amen? Amen. Just one moment. Thank you, Lord. So as we are in the will of God, doing what it is that God would have us to do, we're going to start with song. And let's give you just some words. God's words are so sweet, so anointed. God's words are just to fill up the gap and voids and all of the mishaps that we have ran into and bumped into and pulled ourselves into, sometimes pushed ourselves into the situations that hits us all down and makes us lose our focus, and we're not sure if we're going up or down or left or right. We're not for sure what's going on, and now we may feel like that every wall is closing in on us, or our adversaries are coming against us. God's word is sweet. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is your host, Minister Vaughn Gilman. I am coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. My email address is walkwithmeguide@aol.com. Feel free to send any prayer requests, a praise report, hallelujah, or if you even have a need for a Bible or any biblical literature that would help you on your way. I'd be more than happy to get that mailed out to you. Just send me the information. Again, walkwithmeguide@aol.com. Let's go ahead with our scripture, Psalm 91, shall we? And it reads, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that's you and I, if we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, we will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart, and you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalk you in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. He said, a thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you with all your ways, in all your ways. And they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lions and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. And he will call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. It's good to praise the Lord. I said, it's good to praise the Lord, sisters and brothers. A passion for Christ. A passion to know God. You know, as Christians, we should desire to be centered on knowing God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That should be our center, our most top priority, is to get to know God on a more intimate level. And we need to get to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, what does that kind of ardent desire look like, you may ask? I think I'm desiring God, you may say. What does it really look like to desire God? You know, first, we will have an eagerness. You know that feeling you get inside of you that we spoke about a little earlier? You're excited about going somewhere, being somewhere, doing something. You have that eagerness. You're ready. You're upbeat. Your heart kind of flutters. Because you're excited, you have an eagerness about just being in his presence, getting to know the Savior. You said, I can't wait to get into the house of the Lord. I just need to fellowship right now. I need to come together with sisters and brothers and just let the world fade away for a minute. Not saying that the enemy is not up in here either, but the word of God is more, and he is within me. Is bigger than anything that's going to be around me or outside of me, and I'm going to get together with my sisters and brothers. I'm going to be in fellowship, and oh, we're going to praise and worship, and that's going to take me to a new level. Anything that tries to step against me, it would not. I would not even strike my feet on the stone. Hallelujah. But my God, he's going to command his angels that are concerning me to guard me in all of my ways. Hallelujah. You said, there's all kind of things going on, and I can't even sit in this, you know, you can't even go to church now without being shot. People are being shot inside of the church or in temples and cathedrals, and you know, you said it's just not safe anywhere. Well, I bet you're different, regardless of what's going on around you. He said in his word that he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. He said that they would even lift you up in their hands. Right now, wherever you're at, you may be in a situation that feels like you're pretty deep. You feel like I'm pretty deep right now, and I don't know how to get out of the situation or how it's going to happen. But I need you to go ahead and give it over to God. And then imagine, see yourself, hallelujah, being lifted up into the hands of the angels that God has set concerning you to watch you, to move you out of that mess that has got into it. That's how your messages become a message. Because you had to go through some stuff. What you declare now and testify about now, one time it was a test. It was a trial to get through that situation. So I need you to see yourself then lifted up in the hands of angels so that you would not even strike your foot against a stump. I need you to see that although that you may have pushed yourself, pulled yourself, talked yourself into that mess that you're in, now that you're surrendering it all to the Lord, now that you're repenting of your sins, I need you to see that 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but they would not come near you. I know it feels like it's all over you right now. But get back out of your emotions for a moment and get into the Word. And the Word of God said that it would not even come near you. You see, some of the times, what you feel like is death, it's just a shadow of death. So don't be fooled by the prince of darkness. The Word of God says it will not come near you. Not only will it not come near you, but you will only observe with your eyes. Someone's not going to have to tell you about it. He's going to let you see it with your eyes. The punishment of the wicked. You just got to stand strong. You got to hold on to the Word. You've got to be anchored. Have something to hold on to. And be sure that that anchor is going to hold. This is a lot of different things, a lot of different people that are claiming to be your anchor. Even with the lottery, got a lot of attention, right? Because people are looking for an anchor. They're looking for something to hold on to. Even the lottery winners commit suicide. Families are destroyed because it goes back to the love of that thing. They're looking for something to fill that void. And they look at a point that if I could just win all of this money, I wouldn't have to ask nobody for nothing. If I could just win all of this money, I could just separate myself, isolate myself. I wouldn't have to be bothered with nobody. But we need each other. The Lord says that we are our brother's keepers. He doesn't want you isolated. He wants you to dip out there even when it feels uncomfortable and speak to your brother. Help your brother. Lift somebody up. And God is not about to give you anything, anything that is going to separate you, Father, from him. If you're not serving him now, why do you think you would serve him if you became a millionaire or billionaire? You would not. If you're not getting out there and helping some now in some way, you will never do it then either. You know, it would just be too much. If you don't go to church now, you wouldn't go then. He's not getting ready to separate you. He wants none to perish. None to perish. Even though our understanding may be a different way. See, a lot of people getting looking for ways to get to a place that they don't even need God. That's why we have so many different things that's going on in our society today. So many different cults and different ways of doing things and different lifestyles and all the different things that they want us to know. And they want, you can't hardly turn on your TV without saying something about homosexuality until it gets to the point that you say, you know what, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. let me just go ahead and just watch it. It's not that bad. God said, my word is the same today as it is yesterday. It will not sway. It will not turn around, regardless of who it is or how important they think they are. We still need the Lord, and that means that we still have to follow his command. We still have to follow his word in order to be covered, in order that when those dark times come in our lives, you got to have somewhere to run to. And if you're not dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, you're not going to find any rest in the shadows of the Almighty. You're not going to find any rest. You're just going to be weary. You're not going to be able to confess that, oh God, you are my refuge. You're not going to be able to know that he's going to save you from the fowler's snare or from any deadly pestilence. But I thank God, hallelujah, for growth. I thank God for who he is. And he wants none to perish, remember? You have the same opportunity that I have. I have the same opportunity that the highest bishop may have. We all have the same opportunity. And we all have work that is to be done in this earth. If you look around your community and you see things that need to be corrected and you're not making an effort, you're taking up space. And remember, many every day is taken away from here. Opportunities are gone. Time's up. You never get it again. That's the thing about life. As long as you're living it, you're cool. But when your time is up, you don't get a second chance. It's over. It is over. Someone else is born every second. Get in another opportunity. Get in a chance to do something that maybe you and I did not do that should have been. Thank God that he will cover up. Thank God that we have someone to hide. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that passion that we're speaking of, we have to be eager to know the Savior. You know, Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd. A good shepherd. Hallelujah. That's the way he describes himself. A good shepherd. A good leader. And we're so anxious sometimes as kids. The most exciting thing for us is to be grown. We just want to be grown. Because we feel like I can answer to nobody. I can make my own decisions. But parents, I encourage you all, please instill something in your children. To let them understand that getting a certain age does not give them a right to take on something that they never could give. They can't give life, so they can't take up on their own life. They know not the plans. They can think and make these plans, but if those plans don't line up with God's plans, flesh and the spirit is just going to be fighting against each other as always. So we've got to instill in them something now. We've got to carry something with them when they go outside of your doors, into colleges, into schools, wherever it is that they're going. They need to know and learn to have an eagerness to pray. They need to know some scriptures that when they're weary, what scriptures follow me with there? What do I need to be praying for? When I'm in need of comfort, what scriptures do I go for? Where do I go? Where do I turn to? Because if we don't teach them, somebody else out there is going to teach them, and they're not teaching the word of God. But if they don't believe and know, have a foundation of God, they're going to fall for whatever it is that has been taught to them. That may be, get high on this one little heroin hit. Take a little meth right here. It'll take your troubles away. See, from this school's over here, it gives you some attention. Whatever it may be, it's got to be a foundation. Let's line ourselves up for success. We say that we love. Let's show the love for our families. Amen? So first we have an eagerness to know the Savior. We have an eagerness to know the Savior. And then second of all, we have to make sure that whatever we do, we do it with love. Again, he's the good shepherd. He also describes himself as the bread of life, a true vine, the bread of life, a true vine. He invites us to discover who he is in each aspect of his character. As the good shepherd, we should know who he is. How is he a good shepherd personally to me? These are things that we should be able to testify about. The bread of life, how has he worked that into my life? How is that relevant in my life? The true vine. Hallelujah. There's so much that we need to know. And he invites us to discover each one of those aspects of his character just by being in communication with him. You know, complacency, resting on what we already know, it has no place in a Christian's life. You know, so secondly, we need to demonstrate a steadfast commitment to the Lord. If we're looking to have a passion to know God, we need to demonstrate a steadfast commitment to the Lord. You know, that dedication will have an enduring influence over our finances, our friendships, and even in our homes. Building that close relationship with God is a lifelong pursuit with no shortcut. No shortcut. That means that it does not mean that you're not going to ever have pain, because you are. That's what life is about. Ups and downs and hills and valleys, learning things, going through things. But it means that he'll always be there with you, directing you. He'll always have that door open for you. He'll always let you know and remind you today that you can dwell in the shelter of the Most High, so you can rest. Come on over here. You can rest up under my wings. I'm covering you in this time of pain. This is not going to hurt you. You're not going to come out of here burnt. You're not even going to have a stench of fire on you, even though I know that you're feeling like you're going through something now. I'm with you always. That's the difference. We all got to live this life. We're all going to go through some rugged times. But who's with you? Who's with you? Who's by your side? Do they really have your back? What does it look like when you look in the mirror? What spirit do you see besides you and the ones that you hang with? Is that who you really are? Is that all that you plan to do? God has questions for us, and we should be able to look to him for the answers. When we look at ourselves and we don't like the answer that we see, or somebody looks at us a little different and we don't understand why they're looking at us like that, and we think that, well, you know, how dare they look at me like that? I just invite you to take a moment and look at yourself. Ask yourself, what did they see that made them look, their faces look like that? Maybe I'm showing something that I'm not even aware of. Maybe as I just get up every day and just continue to just let life pass me by and take away some hours until it turns into bedtime and we do it all over again, maybe I need to look, who am I? What am I doing? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? Third, you know, our top priority will be knowing Christ and loving him. Knowing Christ and loving him. That's a top priority. That's something that we should take consideration every day. You know, Jeremiah 31:34, and also in the book of Mark 12:30, it tells us about the priority. You know, so when he has first place in our heart, quiet time with the Lord will be sought after and precious. When he has first place in our heart, our quiet time with the Lord, we're going to seek that. We're going to be excited about that. And it's going to be precious time. And you know, you say, well, Minister Vine, my quiet time may not be what your quiet time is. True. True. You said, but I honor mine just the same. Very true. Your intimacy with the Lord is between you and he. Mine is my special thing. Thing is, is to start somewhere, even if you start with 10 minutes a day, to find some quiet time with the Lord. Now, that means you're going to have to turn your phone off because the enemy is going to, he's going to try to interrupt you. I tell you right now. That means that you're going to have to refuse to open the door. If some stranger or some family member is knocking on the door, you may even want to let them know in advance. The people that you know you the best, send them a text message. Let them know. Quiet time with the Lord from 6 to 6:30. Cannot be reached. Do not disturb. You said yours may be 6 to 6:10. You know, 15 minutes of it, whatever it is. Quiet time with the Lord. And when he has the first, he's first in your life. He's most important over your kids, over your spouse, anything else. When he's most important, it may be your drive to work that you're doing your quiet time. Your quiet time is somewhere, and you're going to start to treasure that. You're going to start to seek after that. You know, our days will be structured around receiving and obeying instructions from him. The more we have that quiet time with him. We will structure our entire day around receiving his instructions and then obeying his instructions. Not that, oh, I received it and, you know, something told me to do this, but I just didn't. But we want to look forward to obeying his instructions. And, you know, prayer would be as much about listening to him as speaking to him. I say that slowly because that's very important to get. Our prayer life, our prayer time should be as much about listening to God as it is about speaking to God. Amen? You've got to be able to hear God. You've got to be able to hear God. So if you're doing all the talking, then you're not getting the total communication. It's got to be a two-way street. Communicating, it's got to be a two-way street. Not just you doing all the talking, but you got to listen to God. Just like a parent cannot do all the talking. If they're not liking a behavior that has been shown by the kid, you can't just sit there and do all the talking. And then when you look at the child and they're just like in another world, and then it angers you because you feel they're not listening or disrespecting you. But the thing is, they're not involved. They're just sitting there hearing wah, 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 wah. You've got to hear. You've got to talk to them. You've got to allow them to speak and tell you how they feel, what they were thinking. You've got to get them so involved in it. So now you've got another perspective. Whether you agree with it or not. And that's the same thing with the Lord. You can go to God and just talk and lay out all these things that you're wanting him to do for you and what all happened to you today and what everybody's doing to you today and everybody's right and you're wrong and you're right. And, or you may say everybody is wrong, right and I'm wrong, and you have all this stuff, pity on your stuff, whatever it is. Our quiet time, we're just excited to hear what God has to say to us. Hallelujah. The feeling of him just breathing on, just comforting me, just lifting me up. That's what gets you excited to get back into the quiet time again. God is just going to be with you. Just, you know, sometimes I just drive and he'll just show me to look over and I see a beautiful moon just sitting there just like, take your breath away. Are the trees just the awesome colors? They're just majestic. It's all you can think of. That's God. That's God. So I enjoy that. I enjoy asking him for instructions and leading, letting him lead the way, being the driver of my life. Very important. And then finally, any desires that interfere with, or I would say supersede
our fervent longing to know the Savior, we must lay those things aside. Anything or anyone who interferes with you longing to be closer to the Lord, you must move it out of your life. It can either interfere or sometimes it even supersedes your relationship with the Lord. Yeah, I do love the Lord, but now this man is in my life and he doesn't want to go to church every Sunday. He wants us to now go to the beach on Sunday. Interfering with your relationship or superseding the relationship that you have. Yeah, I love the Lord, but this woman don't want me around my family. This woman don't want me to do the things that I want to do. This woman wants me to just be around her. Interfering or superseding your longing to be with the Savior, to know the Savior. You, as a child of God, your responsibility is to lay those things aside. Lay those things aside. Turning away from ungodliness and worldly pursuits, they will appear a small price to pay for the blessings of your intimacy walking with the Lord. The closer you get, the more you want to be there. And all those things that one time was made that hard to lay down, they're no longer hard. You look back and say, I don't even have a desire to drink like that, to do those things that I was doing before. You know, over time, as we maintain both a strong desire and a firm commitment to know God and keep Him in first place in our lives and replace our desires with His desires, and then our passions will grow with Him. So who do you see when you look in the spiritual mirror? An ardent believer or just a lukewarm one? These are the questions that you really should ask yourself on a daily basis. Get to know yourself so you can know the answer. And God will speak to you of what He has. Do you know God? Or do you just know about Him? Is Jesus part of your life, or is He just someone that you heard about? Is He your friend? Can you talk to Him? If you've answered no to any of these questions, I would like to introduce you to the best friend that you'll ever have, Jesus. Jesus isn't a fairy tale. He is real. He's personable, and He's ready to come into your life and help you make a change if you want Him to. Now, whether you've never asked Him to come into your life or you're just simply not living how you should be, would you just pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and change me. I want you to know that I believe with all my heart that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for the sins of the world, and that you rose from the dead. I confess these things with my mouth so all of heaven and earth can hear me. I'm saved. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Congratulations, you just made it. You have been born again. Your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and heaven will be your home when you die, and adventures await you from this moment on. Now, it's important that you let someone know about your decision to follow Christ. I would love to hear about it. You can write me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. It's important to get in a Bible teaching church and now to get water baptized. It's just a symbol that you're removing dead. You're dead to sin. You're going to repent of your sin. And the new resurrection, water baptism. Remember, Jesus is thinking about you, and so am I. This is your host, Minister Von Dillman from San Antonio. You can be confident in knowing that from this point forward, you're never alone. You're never a day without prayer. And you're never a day without answers from Jesus Christ. Well, we're coming to the end of our broadcast, and I remind you that this ministry, I love you, but God loves you more. So until the next time, tell somebody to rate the show. Go into the archives. Download it to your players, to your cell phone. We love you. God loves you more. Bye-bye.